You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
Of the Lord. Amen. We thank God for his grace and his mercy. And so if you have your Bibles, let's get Psalms 100, and we're going to start reading in verse 1. It's good to be back. As many of you know, I was on my trails preaching in the north, preached in, I can't remember where I preached now. Oh, this is so long ago. There you go, I'm getting so old, man. Preston, there you go, Preston. Preached in Preston, preached in Bolton, preached in Manchester. God's moving. I tell you, really do have to pray. As I was in Manchester and I was speaking to the pastor there, there are so many people in that area, that city, and they need so many churches. And as I was there in the north, I said, listen, God, there is so many people there. Me and my wife, we were walking through Manchester, and we said, listen, this is a wonderful city, man. We can have plenty of churches here. And so pray. We need couples to rise up. We want to send them out. Amen? Amen. This is quite amen. Well, not me, Pastor. Praise God. I know. Listen, it's powerful what God is doing, and so we thank God. God is good. Amen. Okay, so I want to preach a kind of, I'm starting a new series on Sunday, and so we're calling it Atmosphere. And so we want to preach about what is the atmosphere where we can thrive, what is the atmosphere where we can really succeed. But today what I want to do is kind of, as I was praying about it and studying to make the sermon, I had another sermon that kind of helped me to, this is the introductory sermon, should we say, to what's going to happen on Sunday. And so as I was thinking about this word atmosphere, the word atmosphere is actually a Greek word, and it's a combination of two words. It means gas, atmos, it's a Greek word, and then it means sphere, which is round, and so the gas which surrounds the sphere. But that's the technical kind of scientific word for atmosphere. But we know when we talk about what was the atmosphere like, if someone says what was the atmosphere like, they were not talking about the atmosphere or the gas that surrounds the planet. How many know that? They're speaking about what was the mood of the environment there. And so if we say what was the someone says, oh yeah, I had a good time, it was a good atmosphere. You ever hung out with people and you felt like the best way you could describe it was a good atmosphere? You ever been somewhere and you was like, don't want to go back there, bad atmosphere? How many ever been there? Amen. And so when you, the thing is this, you can have the right thing in the wrong atmosphere and it becomes wrong. You can have the right thing. Listen to what I'm saying. You can have the right thing, but it's in the wrong atmosphere, so it becomes wrong. Have you ever heard of the term a fish out of water? See, I can take a fish, which is healthy, pull it out of its natural atmosphere, put it in another atmosphere, basically out of water, and how many know that's all wrong? And so not only if you have the right thing in the wrong atmosphere, it feels wrong. You can have the right thing in the wrong atmosphere. How many believe with me? You're tracking with me. Amen? Look at someone, say, I believe him. There you go. It helps me, man. It helps me. And so think about what I've just said. You can have the right thing in the wrong atmosphere and it feels wrong. This is why you can have right things. How many know marriage is right? Marriage is right, but sometimes you can... Look at my wife clapping there. Woo! Don't worry. I'm going to wrap this sermon up. What are you saying? Why are you laughing, man? Your minds. We need to do a whole new series on purity, man. God is good. Look at someone say, God is good. Amen. Okay, let's get back to business, man. Father, forgive us. You can have the right thing. So your marriage, remember we said the right thing in the wrong atmosphere can feel wrong. Fish out of water. That's why marriage is right, but sometimes marriage can feel wrong because it's in the wrong atmosphere. It's the atmosphere. How many know church is good? But sometimes if you go in church and sometimes you feel wrong because you are in the wrong atmosphere. You are in the wrong atmosphere. You, yourself. See, God can give us so many good things. You can have money, you can have house, you can have health, but somehow, if it's in the wrong atmosphere, meaning that you're in the wrong atmosphere. See, what I want to speak about is that we need to enter God's atmosphere. We need to be in a place where our Christianity can thrive. You need to be in a place where you don't feel like a fish out of water. See, too many times the Christian is trying to serve God, but it's like I'm a fish out of water. I'm just flapping about in life. I'm not. You put that fish back in the water, it's just zooming through the sea. Just waggling its tail or fin or whatever the technical term is. But it's moving. You pull that fish out, it's just flopping all over the place. And sometimes this is how it can feel in our Christianity. It's like, spiritually, where am I going? I feel like I'm flopping all over the place. I want to speak about how do we enter God's atmosphere, this environment where, you know what, I'm spiritually taking off. And really what we're talking about is where God is, his presence, his place, and how do we do this. And so this is the setup sermon to the main sermon that will be on Sunday. And so Psalms 101, and so it says, a psalm of thanksgiving. And so it starts by saying, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. How many say amen to that? He is God. It is he who has made us. How many know God made you? You didn't make yourself. And not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter, this is where I'm going to be going to, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your grace and your mercy, your love, your kindness. Father, we just so appreciate you. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us today. Father, add your anointing to this message. Father, I have no confidence in my revelation, but Father, I have confidence in your faithfulness, that you desire to meet with us and, Father, inhabit the praises of your people. I pray right now, Father, that you would transact at a spiritual level, elevate us to the spirit level, Father, out of the carnal, out of the fleshly, out of the worldly. Let us come and find rest for our souls in this place, Father, that we can go back, Lord, and be what you've called us to be. We ask you all of this in Jesus' name, and God's people said, let me make a statement here, and I'll be making this statement throughout the message and throughout the series. We cannot enter God's atmosphere without thanksgiving. You cannot. You've got to understand this now. You and I, we cannot enter God's presence in the way that God wants it, in the way that brings refreshing to us, without thanksgiving. Without thanksgiving, you are always going to feel like you're on the outside. See, we do not enter God's atmosphere by our knowledge of God. See, sometimes we think, you know, I know God. See, there's a problem because we think, because I know God, I can enter into this presence of God. But we do not enter in through the knowledge of God. The Bible says we enter into his presence by the attitude we have for God. It is more your attitude towards God that brings you into his presence than just your knowledge of God. And you've got to understand this. I know it's deep, but it's a Wednesday, so you can handle it. But look what it says in Romans 1, verse 21. We got that up there. Everyone can see it. And it says, because although they, what? Knew God. Speaking about people that knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And so the Bible says that the original condition of man is they knew God. And so sometimes we think, oh, I know God. That's good that you know God. I have knowledge of God. I have the right doctrine about God. Maybe you do. But it says, even though these people knew God, they were not thankful. And that was the beginning of their problems. If you know anything about your Bible, you'll know that Romans 1 speaks about the decay of mankind.
How did it start to get bad, 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 bad? That now, you think about it now, God makes man, God makes Adam, God makes Eve, God blesses them, and then now we have murderers. Now we have people shooting people and stabbing people and all types of tragic things going on. How did we get from God making us to destroying one another? Well, the Bible says this is the beginning of it, is that when we knew God, we stopped being thankful. This is where everything goes wrong, because when you and I are not thankful to God, it has great negative effects upon us. This is not like, you know, God just gets in a beef when we're not thankful. Have you ever been, those of you that drive, you ever driven and you let someone through and they don't say thank you? You ever done that? I mean, it gets a bit vexed. Come on, man, come on. Confess your road rage. I confess mine to you. You confess. You know, you let someone go, you flash your lights, and then they just drive through. No thank you, no nothing. And you just feel like you wish you could just rewind the clock and not let them through, innit? You just, no. Is it just me? Okay, pray for me. And so this is not God saying, oh, you didn't say thank you, you didn't flash your lights when you let me through. No, what this is that this will have a negative effect upon you, and it's going to affect you. When you stop having thanksgiving, it's going to affect you in three ways. It's going to affect you mentally. It affects your mind. It's going to affect you emotionally. And it's going to affect your perspective on reality. Those three things. It's going to affect your mind. It's going to affect you emotionally. And it's going to affect your perception on reality. Could we put that text back up there? The Roman text we just had. Look what it says in the end there. It says, nor were they thankful, but became, because they weren't thankful, this is what they became, futile in their thoughts. The word futile means empty, worthless. But it says in their thoughts, they were thinking, but their minds basically were thinking, but they were producing empty thoughts. Nothing constructive, nothing positive. And he says, because they became unthankful, it affected their mind. This is how it says it will affect you, and then that you're futile. You focus on the futile, the worthless. Meaning that you could come into church and hear the preaching of the word. I heard you guys had a great time on Sunday, man. My pastor came in and just ripped it up. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what Pastor Peter does. Amen. No joke. And so you can hear that powerful word, but then your mind is still focused on the futile. You know, someone sends you a picture of a cat wiggling and you're looking at that while the preaching is going on. And then you start to show it to the person next to you. Your mind is futile. It's focused on the empty things rather than the deeper things. And it says, because it affects your mind. It also affects your emotions. Because look what it says here. And their foolish hearts were darkened. The heart became dark. In a place of darkness is where you amplify fear, insecurity, confusion. And because of a lack of thankfulness, it has a negative effect, not just on the mind, but it has a negative effect upon the emotions, where now your emotions are going up and down. You see someone who's saved, but they're so emotional, up and down. They have joy and then no joy and then joy, because when there is a lack of thankfulness, it's going to have a negative effect upon us. It opens the door to becoming an emotionally darker person, meaning that something, it's like the joy. Where is the joy of the Lord? Something is missing. And then could you go to 22? Is that, look what it says here. Professing to be wise, they became fools. What it means is they think that they're wise, but they're actually foolish. So they think they're making decisions, but those decisions are actually foolish decisions. See, it's not wise. What you're doing is not wise. But you've lost perception with reality. You've lost perception. You're doing things that you think, no, this is the right thing. But you've lost perception with reality. Imagine I want to move to Wandsworth, closer to the church. Me and my wife, we live in Thamesmead. Many of you know that. Thamesmead is so much cheaper. We bought the place before we came here. And so it's so much cheaper. We could have never afford to buy a place in Wandsworth. And we definitely can't afford it now. Couldn't afford it then, but definitely can't afford it now. But imagine I come down to Wandsworth and a guy says, listen, I know your plight. Let me show you this. And he gives me, you ever seen them virtual goggles things that people put on? These virtual goggles. And so you put that virtual goggle thing on and he starts to show me a house. Ooh, this is nice. And I got these goggles on and he's like, yeah, look, you could live here. You could come here. Look at that. There's a bedroom here. There's a nice bathroom here. Look, there's a swimming pool here. Look at this. And this is nice. And I said, oh, I like this. And he says, sell your house in Thamesmead and buy this. And I'll be like, yeah, that makes sense. I'll be closer to the church. I mean, no, I may think it's smart, but it's actually foolish. And the Bible says, this is what happens when we stop being thankful, that we're making decisions, we're investing our life, we're trying to make things better. Listen, so many times, people are doing things in their marriage, people are doing things in their friendship, in their ministry, girls are doing things with guys. Oh, this is the smart move. Guys are doing things with girls, but really, it can be foolishness because we've lost perception on reality. See, that's why this thing is so serious, where Thanksgiving. See, Thanksgiving has a, or should I say unthankfulness, has an effect upon your mental health. When you become unthankful, this is why it's a weapon of the enemy, that when you become unthankful, it becomes an effect. It affects your mental health. A scripture that I've read so many times, one of my favorite scriptures. If we got it here, Philippians 4:6. And so you've heard me read this so many times, one of my favorite scriptures. Be anxious for nothing, we know it, but with everything, by prayer, supplication. But look what it says, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Next one. Thank you. And then it says this, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your. It says, when you have thanksgiving, it guards your mind. People that are not thankful, their mind is unguarded. It affects your mental health. See, so many times now I hear people talking about mental health and all of these things. And I want to tell you, listen, as a Christian, me and you, we've inherited a healthy mind, a sound mind. A Christian shouldn't have to go through. I'm not saying we don't go through attacks. And listen, sometimes I've been through attacks that I thought, boy, I'm losing my mind. But I have to get down with God and say, you know what? Realize and be thankful and say, God, I need to configure this thing. I need to get into prayer. I need to start thanking God. Because the Bible says, listen, in that place is where God protects us. So you may have broken a nail, or you may have lost someone you love. No matter what it is, it's not my place to judge your stress level. It's not my place to say, ah, that's not a serious thing, and that is a serious thing. Because if it's serious to you, it's serious to you. But no matter how serious it is to you, God is showing us, listen, when you're thankful, see, this is a very current subject because the Bible speaks about the conditions of the last days. 2 Timothy 3, verse 2. These are the conditions of the last days. For men will be lovers of their selfies. It says it there, look. Men will be lovers of their selfies. listen, do your selfies. I'm not condemning you. Lovers of money. How many know that's our culture? If you go on Instagram, I know it's lovers of money. I see, you know, famous boxers just lying on money, like money on their bed. Like back in the day, that you know, anyway, let me not go back in the day then. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Look what it says next. Unthankful, and then unholy. Now, we could be up in the house of God and say, listen, pastor, preach to them unholy people. Preach to them unholy people. Them unholy people. Them unholy. Preach to them, pastor. Talk about the unholy people. And, you know, many times we could say a few things and people are like, yeah, but, yeah. Preach to them. I'm old school, man. Well, what about God puts you with the unthankful? Oh, come on, unthankful. Unthankful is with the unholy. And this is the spirit of our age. This is why this is so hard. Because I'm telling you, this thing will creep up on you. Before you even know it, you're out in the world, you're doing trade, you're working, you're hustling, you're picking the kids up, you're taking them to school, you're doing this, you're doing that. And before you know it, you start to become a murmurer. Listen, you start looking on Instagram or the internet and you're looking at people's lives, and we've discussed it. No, most of the time it's fake. But anyway, we're looking at those lives and then we start to hate our own lives and you start to become unthankful. And he said, this is the spirit. This will be the sign of the last days. See, to keep a healthy heart and mind, you need an attitude of gratitude. I remember a while ago, I preached a sermon on attitude of gratitude. See, Thanksgiving is a very spiritual thing. It's very spiritual. Revelations 4, verse 9. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor, look what they also give. Thanks to him who sat on the throne, who lives forever and ever. In heaven, they give thanks. Now, let me give you a little bit of theology here. Whatever they do in heaven, it means it's spiritual because it's in the spirit realm. How many know that's not here? So if they're doing that in heaven, it means it's a spiritual thing. Whatever you see them do in heaven is a spiritual thing. And the Bible is saying, when you give thanks to God, you're being spiritual. Now, some of us, we think, no, I'm spiritual when I prophesy and speak in tongues, or I'm spiritual if I do this. But the Bible says, when you thank God, you're being spiritual. You're in line with heaven. And also what we learn is this. Whatever we see them doing in heaven, it means me and you are going to be doing it. There's many things that we're doing now we ain't going to be doing in heaven. You know, you're not going to have faith in heaven. I mean, you're not going to have faith in heaven. You don't need faith because he's there. You're there. Amen. So you don't need faith in heaven. You don't need hope in heaven. Again, what would there be to hope for? You've already got it. But, listen, there's still going to be thanks in heaven. There'll still be thankfulness in heaven. See, Jesus, how many know as a Christian, we want to be like Jesus? We want to be like Jesus. Jesus was someone who was thankful. John 6, verse 11. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them. Next scripture, John 11, verse 41. And when they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, this is Lazarus, Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Jesus is constantly saying thank you. And so if you're going to be like Jesus, a disciple of Christ, does that become your trademark? Are you always thanking God? Do we just need to speak to you for a few minutes? We just need to chat to you for a few minutes. Just have one conversation with you, sit down with you, and you'll be like, wow, you're always thanking God. Thank God for this, thank God for that. You're always thanking God. Or, let's keep it real, are we murmurers? Do we just have to sit down with you for a second? I know you wouldn't tell me that because you give me the pastor language. You give pastor talk. I didn't realize, you know, we all have pastor talk. When I speak to my pastor talk. Yeah, glory, praise God, hallelujah, praise God, hallelujah, pastor. Oh, pastor, pray for me. I need help. And so this pastor talk, but I don't mean when you talk to me. I mean when you talk to your brethren. Not even when you talk to, you know, when a new convert, you know, you're around new convert. I mean, when you're around new converts, you try and help them. You don't burden them. You're depressed. You don't tell new convert, I'm depressed. Yeah, I didn't feel that coming. You weren't there Sunday, and I weren't there Sunday. How many know that ain't going to help nobody? If you weren't there Sunday, just don't call him. Just don't call him. Just keep it. Just come next Sunday to sneak in here. Sit down. And like, hey, praise God. Didn't see you. I know it's a big church, isn't it, man? God's moving, man. And so it's not what you say to those that are younger than you. It's not what you say to those that are older than you. What do you say to your brethren when you're just there chilling? Are you always giving thanks? See, I want to say this, and you've got to get this. This really is, really, I put this whole message together to say this. Thanksgiving gets us access into God's presence. You are not getting any access without thanksgiving. It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Enter into his gates. That means wherever there's a gate, that means there had to be a fence. How many know that? There's no point in me building a fence, a gate here. There's a gate here. Yeah, but there's no point. There's no fence. That means for there to be a gate, there has to be a fence. And what it says is the fence is the obstacle. You're going around the whole fence. I want to get in. I need to get in. It says, no, no, no. You need to go around to the gate. The Bible says, it's thanksgiving is the gate. We enter through the gates. In Isaiah, it says that his gates are called thanksgiving. And so this brings us to the access into his presence. See, the two scriptures I read about Jesus, where Jesus says thanks before he multiplies the bread, thanks before he raises Lazarus. What we see is thanksgiving usually comes before the supernatural. See, you're praying for the supernatural, but ain't no thanks. See, you want to come into the supernatural? Even Jesus, before he taps into the supernatural. See, it's the gate. It accesses more of God. We read in Philippians. See, so many times, you know what we're trying to kind of, revive our prayer life. You ever tried to revive your prayer life? Feels a bit dry. You ever feel like you're praying and it's just not even getting off the ground? Like your prayer is just reaching like 6 foot, you know? Well, if it was James, higher than that, because he's 8 foot. You know, but you think about it now. You just want to revive your prayer life. And really, one of the reasons why sometimes that our prayer life is so cold is because there's no thanksgiving. Could we go back to that Ephesians. I didn't give you Ephesians, did I? Philippians 4. Look what it says there. We read the scripture. Philippians. Be anxious for nothing, but with everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. What God is saying is that when you pray and supplicate, you call out to God, it should be with thanksgiving. Prayer should be made with a thanksgiving. And so many times we're trying to revive our prayer life when we don't realize what we have already. See, some of us think that prayer is the way to God. But the Bible says Jesus is the way to God. You don't need a way to get to the way. How many know that? You don't need a way to get to the way. That means once you're saved, you have that access. You just go, thank you. Thank you. God, I'm just so thankful. See, let's just talk about logistically, what do we thank God for? What should we thank God for? Colossians 3, verse 17. We got that. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. He says, whatever you do or say, it should be done with thanksgiving. Whatever you do or say. How many thank God they're alive today? Let's thank him now. Tell him you say thanks. Look, let's just stop a second. Some of you just didn't know what to do then. I don't know, some of you was like, what's he doing? This ain't the time for that. Preach. It's no point in me preaching about thanks and we don't say thanks. How many of you are thankful that you're alive today? I don't even mean clapping your hands. I just mean say thank you. Let's just say thank you to God. Father, we just thank you that we're alive in Jesus' name. Amen. See, you're like, no. What do you mean? That's too simple. No, that's what he wants. That's what God wants. He wants you to be thanking him in everything. All day, in every way. Thanking him. See, when's the last time we really thanked him? Pastor, what do I thank him for? He said, in all deeds, in everything. Everything. We need to thank God that we got up today. You should thank God. Some people didn't get up today. They went to bed last night, they never got up. Some people's children went to bed last night and they didn't get up. We need to thank God that we had something to eat. I mean, it's good to have something to eat. I had some food today. Praise God. Thank God for that job. Oh, no, this job. That's the job you've been praying for. You testified about. Oh, pray for me. I need a job. We prayed for you. You got the job. No, that's this job. You stop thanking God for that job. Every day, thank God. Listen, there is 1,000 people. There's probably 1 billion people on this planet that if we gave them that job that you have, they would be marching and thanking. Yeah? Some of you, it's your last year of uni. Thank God you've made it. Boss, it's hard. It's hard, boss. It's too hard. Listen, some people quit after a year. You're still here. Give him thanks. Thank God in everything. Listen, if you can go to the toilet, you should thank God. You're like, what? No. Hey. I thought it was about scriptures and revival and people being... Listen, I remember my wife told me there's a lady, she can only go to the toilet once a week. She has a condition. Think about that. There's people that they can't go to the toilet by themselves. And then you just go, hey, roll in, roll out. And you're like, listen, thank God. Just thank God, man. Thank God you can tidy up after your kids. I've been with these kids all day. Thank God you could be with them all day. Thank God you could tidy up after them. There are people that have had kids and then had an accident and they're paralyzed from the neck down and they can just look at their kids. And they can't help them, they can't touch them, they can't feel them, they can't hug them, they can't clean up after them. They'd love to clean up after those kids. They would clean up after those kids every day, all day, for 8 hours a day. Are you thankful? Are you thankful? Thank God. The husband, he came home. He didn't give me this, he didn't give me that. Thank God that brother come home. Listen, because some brothers, they went, they left, and they ain't never come back. She was like, I don't want him back. And then when he left, she's like, where is he? Listen, in everything, thank God. In everything, thank God. I'll tell you, the older you get, you become more thankful. Listen, some of my friends haven't made it as far as I have. Pastor Ulu, he passed away in his 30s. He had a wife and kids. And he passed away in his 30s. I'm in my 40s now. Thank God. There was a pastor called Ronnie Wilkins. He was up in, I believe, Ireland somewhere. I think it was Ireland where he was pastoring. Same age as me. He passed away about 5 or 6 years ago. Heart attack. Passed away. I'm still here. Every day I'm thanking God. Every day I'm thanking God. I thank God that God would use my life. That for this wonderful church. Listen, I was away. I was missing you guys. Wednesday time, I'm like, what's going on in Wandsworth, man? Sunday, what's going on? I'm there, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. But listen, it's a privilege to be here with you guys. I thank God for all of the ministry that we have in the church, the ushers and the equipment people, the nursery workers, all of the people that are doing things behind the scenes. There's so many people in this church doing things. I'm grateful because without them, I cannot do this. I'm so grateful. I'm grateful for Transformation House letting us have this building. Listen, I want my own building. But I have to come and say, God, but I thank you that they've allowed us to use this building. I'm thankful in everything because I realize it's how God preserves me. It's how God keeps me because it's in thankfulness. Let me bring this to a close. You know, more and more I hear people speaking about there's levels to this. Have you heard that terminology? There's levels to this. And so I don't know where it comes from. I just hear people say, in boxing, like there's levels to this. And so a boxer can come up and he can beat a few people and he knocked a few people out. And you're like, yeah, that brother's bad. But really, he was fighting bums, fighting nobodies. And so he knocked them out. And then he steps into another level. Like, this is an international level now. And he gets knocked out. And we're like, wow, there's levels to this, man. You look good at that level. But in life, and I hear people saying it, that people put it on in social media. You know, you see someone in a nice house with a swimming pool, there's levels. What you're saying is you got a house, and they got a house, but there's levels. I mean, that's the type of thing it is. There's level. I'm not saying it's good or bad. And so we understand in sports, in money, in there's all these different things. There's levels, you know. In education, just because you're doing GCSEs, you're in education, there's levels. It's different. You're starting there, and then you want to get to there. So there's level. In Christianity, there is levels to this. Now, let me explain this. When I'm saying there's levels to this, is levels to your maturity. And thankfulness really does show levels. This is where levels come in now. See, Bible knowledge is not levels. How many people got saved under your ministry is not levels. See, the psalmist, when we read in our psalm, he's talking about thanking God. And he says in verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into the courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Now, what is he saying to be thankful for, though? What does he say that we should be thankful for? And so could we go to the next verse? And so this is what he's saying to be thankful. He says, be thankful for the Lord is good. See, there is a level of Christianity when you come in and God starts to bless you and give you some stuff. And that's when we thank God. How many know we thank God? If we have a testimony service, 90% of the testimonies are about jobs. I mean, honestly, yeah. Someone ever should give a testimony about holiday, praise God as well. But 90% of them are about a job, yeah? And so doing this and doing that. And listen, we're not against that. But I'm saying that's the entry level. But there's levels to this. See, the psalmist is not thanking God for any type of material blessing. Because material blessings, let me tell you about material blessings. They're good, first of all. Let's start there. They're good. Look at someone and say, they're good. But let me tell you what material blessings. Material blessings, they don't last. By nature, it can't last if it's material, because in the material universe, everything is subject to the rate of decay, the law of decay. So whatever it is that God gives you in the physical universe, it cannot last. Not only that, it fluctuates. Because in this physical universe, in the natural universe, there's seasons. So it goes up and it goes down. So if you're thanking God for just the physical things, your thankfulness is going to go up and down, and it's going to start to waver. But the psalmist says, no, 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 I'm not thanking God for that. You know what I thank God for? He's good. I was thinking about that. Like, how many times have I heard someone just thank God and say, why are you thanking him? He said, because he's good. Yeah, but you're going through some stuff. You're going through some problems, man. You got some issues. I know, but God is good. The word good means desirable, delightful. Do you find God delightful? See, we're talking about levels now. See, do you just have to know God is with me? I feel good. See, this is what the psalmist is saying that we should be thankful for. He says, be thankful because his mercies are everlasting. See, I'm thankful that his mercy is everlasting. I'm thankful that God's mercy don't run out. See, I thought I'd get some people that would have kind of bigged that up, because I need mercy every day. See, I thank God that his mercy don't run out today, because some of us, he would have snuffed us out, because you looked at something you weren't supposed to look at. You looked too long at that, bro. You give that the second look. God could have snuffed you out. But his mercy is everlasting. His mercy, listen. As long as I see some of you forgot seeing yourself as a sinner. You think his mercy got you saved, but now you don't need his mercy. Listen, I need his mercy every day. I need his mercy every day. I thank God. Listen, he don't have to give me this or give me that or give me that or give me this. Lord, I'm just thanking you because me and you know if your mercy run out, I would just be evaporated in a second because I know who I am. Do you know who you are? See, once you realize, listen, I'm just a sinner. I'm just a sinner. I'm just a sinner. I'm saved. I'm sanctified, but I'm still a sinner. See, that's what makes me keep thanking God. Have you lost sight of that? Because if you lose sight of that, you'll lose your thanksgiving. See, there may be some of you here, you're not saved. You're not right with God. Maybe you're backslidden and your heart is far from God. I want to tell you, his mercy is still enduring for you. That you're here today, hearing this message, that's his mercy. Where man would have given up on you, God has not given up on you. See, there's people, some of us know people that are backslidden. We need to thank God for them because his mercy is still on them. God, thank God, they're not. There's still hope for them. There's still hope for their soul. And the last thing he says, that his truth, he speaks about his truth endures to all generations. And I was looking at that, I was like, what does that mean? His truth endures? It means his faithfulness. It is what it is. His faithfulness endures. See, I'm glad that God's faithfulness endures because sometimes our faithfulness wavers. How many thank God that his faithfulness doesn't depend on our faithfulness? Because if it did, it's a wrap. It's over. But his faithfulness endures from generation to generation. There's so much we could unpack on that. That means that God's going to be faithful to you and he's going to be faithful to your children. That means that God is going to be faithful to you as you're young and he's going to be faithful to you as you get old. That means that God is faithful to you now while you're here and even when you step into everlasting. His faithfulness. That means it's solid. That means just as you can walk on this floor with confidence, you can stand on Jesus with confidence. How many know we've got a lot to be thankful for? This week, as you go through this week, start to exercise this thankfulness. And I'm telling you, you're going to see a difference and a change and a breakthrough because thankfulness gives us access to the presence and that atmosphere that we've been needing. Amen. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. Hallelujah. We thank God. We truly do thank God for his presence and all that he's doing tonight. You're here, you're saved, you love God.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.